we'll continue now talking about Jonathan.
These kids are not, as a matter of fact, when he graduated law school and he passed the California law boards, he came back to Pittsburgh to take the Pennsylvania law boards, which he also passed. But I think he also decided at that time he wasn't coming back.
I don't blame him.
It was dead of winter and February, and yeah. He said, Pittsburgh's so gray. And, you know, he does. He likes the weekends when he gets off, when he has time. The ocean's right there, and he goes to the ocean. And the skiing is away, 2 hours away. You go up the mountains and you go skiing. And I think he just likes that that lifestyle.
Did this young lady follow him out there?
Yes.
Oh, she followed him.
She followed him.
Okay.
Right.
Little girl.
And I suppose if he ever got married, and then decisions start to be made, where do you want to belong?
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know what's going to happen to my children, all of them, as far as their Jewishness is concerned. And I don't know the women they're either have married or going with are not the problem. Those women are not devoted. Those women would be quick to become Jewish. If my sons were said, this is what I think we ought to do, I would like you to do.
Now, do you mean, you're saying two things. They are Jewish, and they're very aware of Jewish. In other words, what you're saying is that they are not a part of the community that you were always part of.
That's
as
right.
A young man.
That's right. And I don't know how, in a big city, I'm not so sure how easy it is to become involved.
I think in any big city, you know, I'm a big city
gal,
it's very easy. You just knock on Federation's door and they're thrilled to have particularly young people to
work. I get, well, that's, maybe I was saying it incorrectly. I think they're afraid to become involved because they saw what went on in the small town.
That could be too.
That it became, you couldn't escape.
It was a full lifestyle.
Was a full lifestyle. In other words, if you were Jewish, that meant you had to be involved in the synagogue, and you had to be on the committees, and you had to give, and you know there was, it wasn't even voluntary.
In other words, in a small town, you felt a need and a compunction to, you had to be part of it. You didn't have a choice.
You had no choice. So I think that they're saying, in a sense, that if they make the choice in the big city, is it the same thing? Will you get overwhelmed and you must, what you're saying and what I know from my experience is that's not so. But they don't know that.
They were brought up with it as a way of life.
They were brought up with it as a way of life. And they just, I'm not sure they're ready to say, I have to, if I do this now, I'll be just like my mother and father, and I don't want to be that committed. Whereas the big city, you can become as committed or as to whatever level of you want to be. In the small town, that wasn't so.
I mean, that everyone that lived in a small town had to.
You could not be not committed. In other words, you could not escape. In the big city, it's obvious. They don't want to become a member. They're not.
Well, nobody even knows they're there.
They
haven't checked
right.
in, and that's it. But do you mean
to
tell me
in small town, you really had to, you know, there was no escape.
You don't think that it's because you were a prominent member of a small town community?
As a prominent member, that just meant that I worked more. But if you were less prominent, you still had to be, there was, when I moved to Pittsburgh, I didn't have to do anything if I didn't want to.
That's true.
If I moved to Butler, that I don't have a choice. You become involved, or you are, you're ostracized. You know, you just, hey, if you don't want to be part of us, then you're not going to be part of us. Right? Now, if I've moved to Pittsburgh and I want to be friends with Gene Meth, and I don't want to be part of Federation, that is possible.
Very easy.
Very easy.
But if I move to Butler and I want to be friends with Arthur Jaffe, I better belong to Federation and go to work.
You've got to work for the synagogue and all those kinds of other things. Okay, that's the difference I'm talking about.
And maybe these children don't want it. All right, where's number three?
Number three, I'm only bringing this up because this is really some of the things that...
And it applies to all of them.
It applies to all of them. And also is what you're part of the Jewish history that we're talking about.
Exactly.
What's happening? What's going on? Number three is Joel. Joel lives in Houston, Texas. And he is married to a non-Jew from Del Paso. Nancy Gray. And Nancy's prepared to become Jewish. She doesn't know how. And they're both busy with their careers, so nobody's taking them in hand, and they've not gone to any place where somebody said, this is the way you do it.
What is
when they went to get married, they got married by a judge because they had waited long before, they had lived together for a number of years, and then decided to get married. And I said, well, if you want to get married by a rabbi, then you've got to go to a rabbi and see what they want you to do. Well, the first thing they did was they went to an Orthodox, and that made it very difficult. And that said, they said, well, they're not going to do that. They just don't have the time or the energy to do that. And then he wanted them to join the synagogue and they have a fee to become a member and so on. They weren't ready for all that. And as a result, they got married by a judge. Jewish judge. That was the compromise. But not because she's not interested in being Jewish. She said the first Jew she ever met is her husband. She said, I may have met a Jew, but I wasn't aware. The first Jew that I consciously knew as a Jew was Joel. And Joel said that he experienced in his job, he runs a country club. Non-Jewish country club for a major corporation, the Club Corporation of America. Club Corporation of America owns the River Club in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the largest country club and city club organizations in the United States. They own Firestone, they own Pinehurst, they own Inverary.
How did he get into that kind of thing?
Well, he had gone to Penn State, where he had taken some hotel administration, and he started to work for Holiday Inn when he graduated at Penn State. And gradually, he drifted down to one of the people he worked with is a professional country club and a professional restaurant consultant. And when this consultant moved to Texas, he called up Joel and said, Joel, I can use you down here. Why don't you join me? And Joel went down to work for a restaurant chain in Dallas, small one, called Maxwell's.
Mm-hmm.
R.G. Maxwell. And from R.G. Maxwell, he went over to, thank God it's Friday, TGIF Friday, where he managed the largest Friday in the United States, which is, they're out of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And then TGIF started a new chain called Dalton's, which was to be a different kind of a restaurant, a family restaurant, a little more price lower and so on. And he started their restaurant for them in Houston. And then he got hired away by Club Corporation of America to become the, not to manage the club, but to become the beverage and food manager for this club. And within 3 months, he was made manager of the club. And that's where he is now. And now I think he's going to be moving to California by the same company to run their bigger club in Tarzana. You know where Tarzana is?
No.
Tarzana is south and west of Los Angeles, right near Los Angeles, really.
Yeah, no, I didn't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have a club up there called Raymond that he thinks he's going to be transferred to. But he's
that
running
would put
this
him,
club.
That would put him closer to Jonathan.
Yes, an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
He runs a club. He runs is called April Sound. It's on a lake, little lake. And they have 3,300 members. These are Texas clubs, Texas style. And there are practically no Jews. He said, his coming from a small town and dealing with Gentiles all his life made him very successful in running this club. But he said that within the club organization itself, the Club Corporation of America, there was a resentment that a Jew had been put in charge of this club and ignored her at that. Because this is a Texas club. So he said, I had to overcome the fact that I'm from the North, that I'm Jewish.
And young.
And young, and very young. And he said, all those things I had to overcome. And of course, they call him the mayor. He runs the city. Nobody calls him the mayor. And he's very successful.
What does Nancy do?
Nancy was working when they first met, was working for Houlihan's.
And she was like in the same kind of...
same kind of business, right.
Which is helpful.
Yes, she now works for a company that you may see. There's a few restaurants down here now called Fuddruckers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fuddruckers also comes out of Texas. Houlihan's is a Texas company. TGIF is a Texas company, Club Corporation is a of America is a Texas company, and Fuddruckers are all out of Texas, all out of either Dallas or Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they met, through the restaurant business and the Club Corporation.
How old is Jill?
30. Just
and
was
Jonathan?
30.
Must be 33.
32.
And now we got the baby.
Julie. Lives in Seattle, Washington. Kind of scattered a bit.
Yes, she did.
Julie graduated the university. She has had a live-in boyfriend for many years. They're now kind of not living together at the moment, but they're still close. And he's from Butler, Tom Bradrick.
Isn't that interesting?
Tall, blonde, gorgeous. Like a movie star, that handsome. And he follows her wherever she goes. She went to the University of Michigan, he followed her to the University of Michigan, although he never went to school there. He went to, became a master, he went to the auto industry has sponsors a college for mechanics, auto mechanics, and he became a master auto mechanic. And as a matter of fact, started teaching in the school system. And she graduated University of Michigan, stayed there for a while, working in a bookstore. Then he wanted to move on. So he had a family in Los Angeles. And went out looking around and decided to settle in San Diego because Jonathan was there. He settled in San Diego and he got a job as a service manager for the biggest Volvo dealership in San Diego. And then Julie followed him out there because she was unhappy being separated. And she got a job as a production editor for Harcourt, Brace and Jovanovic, the book publishers. And they have a medical book division in San Diego. And she did that for a year and a half or so, and it sounds very glamorous, but it was very dry work. She became the editor for, production editor for the Kidney magazine, Kidney Disease. She became an expert on editing magazines, professional magazines, technical. I mean, nobody reads it, but urologists
and those that need it.
Need it because. And finally decided that she would like to become a school teacher. So she had friends who she knew in Michigan who have settled in Seattle. She went to Seattle, she liked it. She's now going to go to school and get her teaching certificate after 4 years at Michigan, University of Michigan in English. They'll figure that all out. And she come to visit us next week. She hasn't been here yet.
Looking forward to that.
Yes, she went with her boyfriend's now at the high seas, where he'd become the mate on a ship, on a yacht, because he knows motors. He takes care of the motors, okay? So he got her a 3-week vacation as a crew on one of the ships that he, yachts that he was the mate on.
That's very neat.
So they went down to Mexico before she went up to
Seattle.
She's now in Seattle. And she's working in a bookstore.
She's
until she gets.
She's a book lady.
She's a book lady.
She really loves that.
Yes. And she doesn't want to do any editing, although she could get jobs editing for the professors up there. And she's now a professional. She edited a whole book besides a magazine for her book, which is quite a job, I guess, being a production editor. You know, all the commas and the spelling and the English. The doctors don't write very well.
And they don't know where the commas go.
And she says, I have to call them up and say, now, what did you mean by this sentence? Because maybe there's something that they're saying correctly, which is mostly it's not. They just have poor English. They don't know how to write. So I have two more kids now because I'm married.
Mm-hmm.
And Maida has two.
Mm-hmm.
They become part of the family. Definitely. And Steve, the Julie is 27. And Steve Lovner lives in Pittsburgh. He's getting married to a girl from Butler. Not Jewish. Not known. India. India Blair.
Your children all end up with Butler people.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
But they all grew up together, though, didn't they? Not
well,
necessarily
no,
Steve.
No, they met in Pittsburgh.
No, I mean your own children. I mean the young man that's Julie's friend.
Yes, they went to school.
I mean those kids all grew up together.
They all grew up together.
Well, they really must have liked each other.
Right, and Beth Goldenier, her father was the principal of the high school. So yes, they all grew up together.
Do you have any idea how their parents feel about their living, not as Jews, but with Jews? Does it make any difference to them, do you think?
Tom's mother, Dolores, was one of the most beautiful women, physically. Matter of fact, she used to model for me. And she's Catholic. She was Catholic. She's dead. What brought these kids together, among other things, was she and Lois were patients in the hospital together. Dolores lived lived another 5 years after Lois died, but she eventually died of cancer. She had had cancer for many, many years. She had had I don't know where it started, but she had had it in her brain. Both breasts removed. She had it in her kidney. But the answer to your question, we were friends. Besides, we had been in addition. The kids became, I guess, when their mothers were both sick, they sort of leaned on one another. I talked to Dolores about a week before she died. I went up to see her from Pittsburgh, and she knew. I mean, we said, this is our last conversation together. No, this is our last conversation. And it was. And she said, you know, I love Julie. Julie's a spectacular person. And, but she said, I just, you know, hardly meant for one another. Julie's such an intellectual, and Tom's such not an intellectual. And it's good for Tom to learn from Julie. She really wasn't bothered about the religion part of it. I mean, she would have preferred, as I would prefer, okay. And she was a good Catholic, but she did not let that she did not make an issue out of it. Okay. As far as the Fulton Ears are concerned, all of their children, they grew up in a very liberal household, intellectual household. And I think that their children are such individuals, they're sort of off the wall. So I don't think they have much to say about it. One of those things. We gave our children a lot of leeway. We grew up in a very liberal, they grew up in a very liberal thinking household. And yet, a very Jewish household. But I think their liberalism is stronger than their Judaism.
At the moment.
At the moment, anyway.
At the moment. When they were growing up, did they belong to ACA? I mean, whatever organizations were available in Butler? Did they do anything like that?
They belong to, you know, the Sunday school, the Hebrew school we left them playing. There was no Jewish Boy Scouts crew. There was no, the AZA was, well, there was an organization, but it was very strong. And the pool of the non-Jewish world was stronger than that. They belonged in name. They would go to a meeting once in a while.
Not like you did as a kid.
Anyway, I was president of AZA. I was the founder of AZA, you know, the original, one of the charter members. Yeah.
And yet you were...
Yeah, there was a little more acceptance of them by the non-Jewish community than there was when I was growing up as a Jew. Either because we felt separate or because the times were different. Or both. Probably both.
Well, all right, for instance, did your youngsters go to the country club swimming with their friends? Were they accepted on that basis?
They could have. I mean, they didn't have a whole lot of country club friends because they didn't have those kind of friends.
In other words, that was a whole separate group to your way of life.
Well, our friends belong to the country club, and some of our friends belong to were country club members. Our kids didn't go swimming there because we lived on a lake.
In other words, everything your children need, they had at home.
They didn't have to go elsewhere.
They didn't
have to go to the country club to go swimming. We had a lake, and when they grew up and they wanted to get away from the lake, they would rather be down at the city pool where the real people are. Okay. And all their friends. They were very proletarian in their selection of friends. They didn't like to be associated with... They didn't, because we were perceived as being rich.
They bent over the other
way. They bent over the other way. They did not want to be perceived as being rich. They were a little embarrassed by the fact that we were perceived as having money. It was bad enough being Jewish in a small town, but to be rich, on top, and Jewish,
and
even worse.
And now they're perfectly happy where they are. To a point.
Yeah.
What do they do, for instance, to Rosh Hashanah? What are they going to do Passover? Would it mean anything in their lives, do you suppose?
Well, what we did last year was to our married son and daughter-in-law, Meta and I went down and said, we'll run a Seder for you. We took down the Seder, the Haggadah, and we left them there, so they have for this year. And we called this year, and they are having a Seder with another Jewish couple down there. Who also comes from Butlery. He's Jewish, and he's married to a girl who is Catholic. But they're going to have a Seder.
Interesting. Do they also observe a Catholic holiday?
But the other couple?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't answer mm-hmm. that.
It would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I doubt it. They were, although she comes from the most Catholic of Catholic families, I doubt it. They, you know, they have their breakdowns too. It's not the way it once was. So, as far as Jonathan is concerned, we have very good friends. I have very good friends who live in La Jolla, originally from Pittsburgh, who came to Pittsburgh. He was head of the radiology at the University Medical School, and when all that group went out to La Jolla,
remember when that
whole medical thing went out, he went with them. His name was Lasser, Elliot Lasser. I don't know if you knew Phyllis. She was active in the National Council of Jewish Women
for
many years. They lived in Mount Lebanon, and they moved to Pittsburgh. So, at any rate, Phyllis and Elliot were close friends of Lois's and mine, Phyllis's sister, and Lois were roommates at Northwestern. So when they moved to Pittsburgh, the Lassers, we picked up with them and remained very close friends of theirs until they moved to La Jolla, and still are in touch with them. So they have kept in, and they have a number of children, and Jonathan has kept in touch with their children. So if they invite him to a Seder, he'll go. If he doesn't, they don't, he won't go anyplace. It won't mean anything to them.
Do you suppose that once they start having families, if they so choose, that then it would become a whole different story?
It might be something that would start to happen. You know, I might say, why don't you come to us for Seder?
It's difficult.
We'll go out there.
It's difficult. When you're here and they're there, it's a very difficult thing.
Yes.
It's not like you're in Pittsburgh and you're running home to Butler.
No.
And that, again, I think also makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think the mobility of our families has...
Well, the way they're spread. When we grew up, all of us were in a position where, when we got married, we were all within driving distance of getting together with my mother and father and having a Seder. Or everybody coming to our house and having a Seder. Or going to one of the other brothers' house, Norman, or my brother Sid, or my sister who lived in Newcastle. We were able to do that.
These kids can't do it.
No. I mean, besides forgetting the money issue, but just the time. And the coordination and coming and so forth, it's tough enough to get them together. Next year will be my 65th birthday. We did get it all together for my 60th. That'll be an occasion to try to see if we can get everybody together. You know, it's difficult. You have to get very special occasions, and everybody makes an enormous effort to get there. if one of them will get married, then that would be another reason that everybody gets together. But for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and for, so, you know, Passover, Pesach.